أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله يا للفلاح يا للفلاح يا للفلاح يا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So for Durus Farmani, please straighten the rows, fill in the gaps, turn off your mobile phones. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami' Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami' Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
InshaAllah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Salihin will take place. Those requested to participate, inshaAllah, baqiya dua ki badar sa hadith hoga, sati shirkat ulama, inshaAllah, fayda ho. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رحمتك يا رحمة الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders محترم بايا دوست بزركم we're going through this chapter in رياض الصالحين The chapter in which Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi talks about the importance of zuhd in the dunya and having less of the things of the dunya and the virtues of poverty. Virtues of poverty. So, just continuing inshallah with the hadith. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ألا إن الدنيا ملعونة ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله إلا ذكر الله تعالى وما والاه وعالما ومتعلما رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه رواية فرماته
کہ میں نے سنا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو فرماتے ہوئے کہ غور سے سن لو، بلا شبہ یہ دنیا ملعون ہے، دنیا پر اللہ تعالیٰ کی لعنت ہے، اس میں جو کچھ ہے سب ملعون ہے سوائے اللہ تعالیٰ کی ذکر اور وہ چیزیں جو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ جن سے محبت کرتے ہیں، اور جو عالم ہو اور جو متعلم ہو، دین سیکھنے والا ہو اور دین سکھانے والا ہو. سو دس حدیث سیدنا ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ از نریٹنگ، ہی مینشنز دیٹ آئی ہرڈ دی میسنجر آف اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیئنگ دیٹ الا لسن ویری کیئرفلی، انڈیڈ دس دنیا، دس ورلڈ از اکرسڈ، ملعون، اٹس اکرسڈ، ملعون ما فیہا، ایوری تھنگ ان سائڈ آف دس ورلڈ از کرسڈ. The ulama say here, it doesn't mean from this hadith that we can curse the dunya, swear at the dunya, say something negative about the dunya. What it means here is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to draw our attention to the fact that everything inside of this dunya, which is only limited to this dunya, it has no benefit in the akhirah, it's accursed, it will come to an end, it will finish, it will perish. But anything in this dunya which we can take into the akhirah, it has some benefit for us. So there's three categories of things. One are those things which are only for the akhirah, like our salah, our tilawat of Quran, our fasting, and acts of worship. These are only for the akhirah. They have no, well, they have certain worldly disciplinary benefits, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. But in terms of the dunya, the material things, they don't have benefit. And then you have other things which are a combination of both, the ulama say. For example, if a person is going to earn a halal income to feed himself, feed his family members, and with that food he's going to have energy with which he's going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's dunya we benefit, worldly benefit, you're feeding yourself, a roof over your head, etc. But also ukhra we benefit. Now why are you doing it? Ukhra we meaning in the hereafter. Why are you doing it? You're doing it so that you have energy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you can please Allah ta'ala. It's a responsibility Allah has placed on your shoulders, looking after your family members, your children, your parents, etc., your neighbors. You're doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a combination. And then there are those actions which are purely for the dunya. Those actions which are purely for the dunya are such that we have to think before we do them, is this going to have any benefit for us in the akhirah? Extravagance in spending, unnecessary holidays, unnecessary purchases, all of these kind of things, extravagance, unnecessary. We know for sure if we look and ponder over it that this is going to have no benefit for us in the akhirah. This kind of thing is mal'oon, accursed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with it, neither is Allah pleased with those who dabble with it. Allah is not pleased with it. Unnecessary cars, Rolex, watches, expensive cars, going on holiday to Mauritius and Maldives and this and that, just for the sake of it. And people have this thing now, it's my money, I can spend it. Allah has given me money, it's not that I don't have the money. Look, there's two things. One is I don't have the money and I am borrowing money just to fulfill my desires. So-and-so's got such and such a suit or such and such a watch or such and such a car, I need that. I don't have the money for it. As a Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, one of the great scholars of Pakistan, he would say that aamadani aapke ikhtiyar mein nahi hai, kharcha aapke ikhtiyar mein hai. Like a person doesn't have the option of how much you earn. That's from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever is going to come into your bank account, whatever paycheck is going to come to you at the end of the day, that's from Allah Ta'ala. You can't do anything about it. You can't just go and increase that. You're going to get what you get. But spending that, it's in your, you know, it's in your hands, in your control. You can spend recklessly, carelessly, and sit at the end of the day thinking, oh no, now I need to do something haram. And this is what people do. He's going on a nice holiday, so I need to go on it. He's got a nice car, so I need to get a nice car. He's got a nice house. We don't have the money, credit cards. And they're posting credit cards through our letterboxes now. And our people are so eager. Yes, another credit card's come through. Aqua and Mojo, whatever it's called, and then this one, and then this one. Right? I don't have the money. I've bought something which is not even mine. And I've taken out such a huge debt from the bank and I'm going to pay that back off with interest because I can't afford to pay back off monthly. No harm with having a credit card if you can clear that in the month, that payment. And it improves your credit rating and so on and so forth. But you're buying the credit card because you know at times I don't have money and I just want to take this haram loan from the bank and I'm going to pay that back with interest. Right? Why? Unnecessary expenditure. So this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, these unnecessary purchases, unnecessary expenditure, buying things that you don't need, buying things you don't need with money you don't have to please people who don't care, who don't even like you. It's a reality, right? Buying things we don't need with money we don't have to please others who don't care. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in شَرُّ الطَّعَامِ طَعَامُ الْوَلِيمَةِ. The worst type of food is the food of walima. Our favorite food is walima food. Somebody's invited me to walima, subhanAllah. I'm ready, I'm the first person to go. The worst type of food is food of walima. Why? Because yudaa ilayha man ya'baha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that person who is in need of going to the walima, the poor person, the beggar, and it happens in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, a lot, back home countries, you see the wedding venue and you see lots of poor people outside, hoping somebody will give them a plate of food, some leftovers that are going to throw it in the bin is going to be given to them. But these people said, no, you can't come in, VIPs only. And these VIPs that are invited, yud'a ilayha man ya'baha, those people are invited to walima who don't even want to be there. Person, you know, wants to make the wedding list. Who needs to be at the wedding of my so-and-so, my child, my son, my daughter? I need this particular influential person, this influential person, this Chaudhary Sahab, this, you know, this long list of people. They don't even want to be there. They don't probably even have a good relationship with your child. And the child is thinking, I went to my wedding, my own wedding. I didn't recognize 80% of the people there. I'm getting married. I don't know who these people are. I remember one of my friends, he was getting married and his parents said to him, you know, we need a hall to invite 500, 600 people, this and that. He said, okay, Abu Amu, whatever makes you happy, do it. But I'm not going to come. Huh? What do you mean you're not going to come? It's your wedding. He said, well, it's not my wedding because I'm not inviting the people. You're inviting the people. So it's your taqreeb, your function. So you invite whoever you want. You feed them. Don't ask me for me. You feed them because you want to invite them. You want to feed them. I'll just come. I'll say, assalamu alaikum, and I'll go back. If it's my wedding, I should have some kind of choice in the matter. And this is what we do. We put these our children into these shackles. Your wedding, you're going to have to pay for it. But at the same time, remember, we need all these people. We need things to be like this. This needs to happen. This needs to happen. This needs to happen. Now the child thinks, what can I do? Mom and dad are saying, this is the only way I can get married. I can only get married if I do this and I hire this hall and I do this and I invite these people. I have these functions. I give these thousands of pounds of money and thousands of pounds of gold. And we put a noose around our own child's neck. And we think we are giving them, you know, we're helping them, assisting them. You know, look at what I've done for you. I got you married. You didn't get me married. You put me inside of a ditch that I can't climb out of. And now to climb out of that ditch, I need to go to the bank. Interest-based loan, I need to do this falling into this haram action, that haram action. So my dear respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here that the dunya is accursed. Anything which is extravagant, unnecessary, beyond our need, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with it. We're not going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by indulging in it. Everything inside of the dunya is mal'oon, illa dhikrallahi ta'ala, except for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr of Allah. A few categories Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes exception, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a curse. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dunya. Dunya is something, like I mentioned last week, something which is desirable, something which is alluring, something which is captivating. A person wants it to fulfill their shahwa, their desire. Want to go on holiday, want to buy the car, want to do this. Why? I just want it. I'm craving it. I'm craving this food. I'm craving this dessert. I'm, you know, craving. This is dunya. So dhikrullah is not this. But because inside of the dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, all these material things in the dunya, I have no value for them. I have no appreciation for them, no love for them. They are accursed, except for my dhikr. Except for those people who busy themselves with my dhikr, with my remembrance. وَمَا وَالَاهُ, and those things which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's yad, Allah's dhikr, this is something which is not accursed. The more you do of it, the more you benefit. And anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So when Allah ta'ala says anything I love, it should include all of the things which are permissible and all the things that Islam has told us to do and all the things that Islam has told us not to do. It includes. It's all in there. وَمَا وَالَاهُ. Everything that Allah loves. Do the things Allah loves. But then Allah Ta'ala makes another, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes another exception. He says, وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا. And the alim, the scholar of Islam, وَمُتَعَلِّمًا and the student of Islam. The scholar of deen, the knowledge of deen, and the student of the knowledge of deen. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything in the dunya which Allah loves is not cursed, it comes under that already. The scholars, those people who are busy learning knowledge of deen, those people who are busy teaching knowledge of deen, these people come into the category of those things that Allah Ta'ala loves. But still, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning them separately to show their importance. The alim and the student of knowledge. That's why one narration it is mentioned that either be an alim or be a lover, be an alim or be a student of knowledge or be a person who loves the people who are learning and teaching knowledge, and don't be from the fourth category. Nowadays you speak to someone, every ghibat includes ghibat about some alim. This particular mulana, this particular mulvi, this particular sheikh is like this and is like that and is like this. We're not even concerned. The adab in ilm and respect for knowledge and respect for the people of knowledge, we will make it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with knowledge and blesses our children with knowledge. And when we lose our respect for knowledge and the people of knowledge, Allah ta'ala deprives us of it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, you know, nowadays every single person, someone who is a person of dunya, this is the person who we give respect to. And a person of knowledge, person of deen, person of piety, are undermined, overlooked. We don't need to take this person's opinion. Person of dunya, a person who has that position amongst the people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكون أسعد الناس لكع بن لكع. The day of Qiyamah will not come until the most fortunate person in terms of the world, meaning the person who everybody is elevating and saying, this is the person you need to go to, is Luka ibn Luka. Kamine ka beta kamina. Find the old translation. The despicable person whose father was a despicable person, this person is going to be the one that everybody goes to towards the day of Qiyamah. And the pious people, the righteous people, the scholars of Islam, are going to be, oh, we don't need to go to this person. This person is not going to understand. This person is backwards. Backwards minded. He doesn't understand the real world. The real world is understood by this so-and-so person. Because that so-and-so person is off the streets. And this so-and-so person has this kind of past. But the pious people, those with angelic qualities, with the qualities that you see the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their lives, no, we don't. It's good, mashallah, it's good for him, but I don't need that. What I need for me, for my children, for my family, for my life, is somebody who's going to understand me. And that person is, bichara, he's in his own world. He's in his own bubble. These are the excuses shaitan makes us bring to the front so that we don't go to the pious people. This is how he keeps us away from the pious people. In the end, the pious people will be alone. Abu Ustad, Mufti Inayatullah, Hafidhullah, used to say in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who have brought iman, fear Allah and stay with the pious people. He says, from this ayah we understand that till the day of Qiyamah, just before the day of Qiyamah, there will be pious people. Because the Quran is here till the day of Qiyamah. So the injunctions of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala will always have pious people which He has planted amongst His servants, but they will become more and more hidden, more and more less in number and more hidden. Because when they see all the fitnas around them, they're not going to put themselves into the fitna. You don't put yourself into the fitna. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, you know, تَكُونُ فِتْنَةٌ صَمَّى بَكْمَى عَمْيَى مَنْ أَشْرَفَ لَهَا إِسْتَشْرَفَتْ لَهُ. There will be such fitnas, trials and tribulations that come towards the Day of Judgment that they will make you deaf, dumb and blind. You won't even know that this is taking you away from your deen. You will think this is such a good thing. كُلُّ جَدِيدٍ لَذِيذٌ. Every new thing is very delicious, is very tasty. This is something new. These scholars have never told me about this. Our Maulvis never tell me about this. This particular person on YouTube, you know, he, mashallah, he has such knowledge that all the scholars I've ever met in my life don't have that much knowledge. Everything which is new is delicious, tasty. We don't even know we've put ourselves into such fitna, and then by the time we know it, we've wiped our hands of deen. You know. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in another hadith, that the person who is sitting down in the fitna is better than the one who is standing up in it. Meaning the closer you are to the fitna, the more likely it is you're going to fall into the fitna. So the pious people know of this. So when the fitnas come, trials, look at the fitnas now, subhanallah. Just in, you know, the country we live in, the amount of fitnas which are coming through. So those who are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not going to say, you know what, I'm going to put myself in the heart of the fitna and I'm going to try and figure out a solution. This is fitna. The fitna is coming. The best thing is to do is to avoid it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the safest person is the person who is going to be inside of his own home. The fitna will even enter the home, but this is going to be the safest person. Keep myself, my family, everyone away from all of this. If I'm going to put everybody into the fire, I'm going to say, you know, after putting them into the fire, and then I say, you know, why is everybody burning? It's a very foolish thing. You put them in the fire. So don't take them anywhere near the fire. So this is the pious people. They understand. Fitnas are coming, trials are coming, tribulations are coming. I'll keep myself away from all of this. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever capacity I can until my death comes. And this is how they stay. So we need to find these people, we need to stay with these people and benefit from these people. And all of this, social media and celebrity sheikhs, celebrity scholars, celebrity influencers, we need to be very wary. Somebody is a celebrity, it means he's fully in the public, you know, in the limelight. He will have to make certain statements, he will have to say certain things many times. I'm not saying all of them, Allah Ta'ala protect, we don't want to slander people, but many times they are put in situations where they have to say things to appease all of the followers, all the listeners, and all of the people in front of them. And they're also aware that if millions of people are following me here, then others from other places are also watching me. So if I say something a little bit controversial, everything is gone. So you have to be careful. It's better to go to say people who don't have that limelight, that platform, that kind of concern. Anyway, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, this entire dunya is established upon the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr with the tongue, dhikr with the heart, dhikr with the mind, constantly being in a state of pondering over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings that Allah ta'ala has given us, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has given us. This entire universe revolves on the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. So in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى يُقَالُ فِي الْأَرْضِ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ أو كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The day of Qiyamah will not come as long as there is one person on the earth who is saying Allah, Allah. As long as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, the purpose of the existence of the universe is still there. And as soon as people stop doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will finish all of this. So dhikrullah, keeping ourselves busy, our tongue engaged in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. Tilawat of Qur'an, especially in the month of Ramadan, istighfar, the first kalima, durood sharif, and tilawat of Qur'an at all times. And salah, as much as we can increase in our nawafil, optional salah, all of these things. And like we always mention, minimum is do not fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eyes, controlling the eyes from sin, controlling the ears from sin, controlling the tongue from sin. Yeah? Not staying in such gatherings and in such groups where you know you will be tempted and inclined to fall into sin. I'm just with my family, I'm just with my cousins. What do my cousins talk about? I'm just with these certain family members, certain friends. What do they talk about? Even if their talk is not about ghibah and backbiting, many times it's just about worldly things. Spend 2-3 hours talking about the latest iPhone 16, right? 2-3 hours just dissecting each part of the iPhone. This is good, better than this, that's good, better than that. Think about that entire 2-3 hours conversation. It's all become futile. The day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, when the person enters Jannah, he will regret every single conversation which took place in which the mention of Allah Ta'ala or the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take place. You regret that. That's why we have the dua of Kafaratul Majlis. Whenever you finish any gathering, you read the dua of Kafaratul Majlis. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whatever slip of the tongue or mistakes you may have made in that gathering, Allah Ta'ala forgives them, overlooks them. So the importance of the remembrance of Allah, the importance of honoring and giving importance to the ulama, trying to be from the ulama. As one of our friends today, I think he's here at the back, saying, you know, everybody can be an alim. Being an alim is not easy. You know, I give the example of myself, even though I'm not the best example to give. Whole life we were just thrown into this line, whether we liked it or not. You know, we were thrown into it. It was hard becoming a hafiz of Quran. Very difficult. Preserving the Qur'an, very difficult. And then beyond that, understanding the Qur'an and hadith, not just the Qur'an and hadith, but the deeper meanings of the Qur'an and hadith. You can pick up Bukhari, you can pick up Muslim, you can pick up a book of hadith and read it. Huh, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But how do you apply that? How do you get to the deeper meaning of that? It's very difficult and it's a slippery slope. And so many people have slipped and fallen. So many people have such wrong understanding of deen. The wrong, understanding of the hadith, wrong understanding of the Quran is very dangerous. What happens then is not only are you misguided, you become a cause of misguidance for other people. It's very hard. So those people who have become alim, and those people who are alim, and we know them, and we appreciate them and what they do, honor them, respect them, make dua for them, try and make our children like them. We need more ulama, pious ulama, righteous people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the knowledge of deen and propagating the knowledge of deen. Or muta'allim, everybody can be a muta'allim, a student of knowledge. In whatever capacity, continue to learn deen. Shouldn't think, oh, whatever I have is enough. Always thinking, whatever I know of Islam is very little. There is so much more to learn. Continue to learn, continue to develop, and encourage others to continue to learn and to connect with the ulama. This is the minimum we can do. Have a good opinion of the ulama. Don't have a negative opinion of the ulama. Even if an alim makes a mistake, a slip up, he's a human being. I don't need to make him a target of all of my, vitriol, slander him and talk bad about him 2, 3, 4 hours. This is what is damaging our nation now. All these Maulvis are bad, and I found one particular person on YouTube who also slanders all the Maulvis. That particular person on YouTube says, all the Maulvis are bad, come to me. I will tell you Quran and Hadith because I am the caretaker of the Quran and Hadith. I am the only one in this world who Allah has given understanding of Quran and Hadith to. And the rest of these Maulvis are bad. Don't go to them. It's very dangerous. People are falling into this trap. Millions of people are falling into this trap. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Allah ta'ala protect us from the fitnas, from the trials, tribulations. We need to always make du'as. Allah ta'ala protect us from the fitnas which are here, which are coming in the future. Our children. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Wallah, protect me from all the fitnas, those which are apparent and those which are hidden. And then in the du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make every single day, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min a'adhab al-qabr, min a'adhab al-nar, wa min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamad, wa min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. Wallah, I seek your protection from the punishment of the grave, from the punishment of the fire of Jahannam, from the fitnas of this dunya and the fitnas of the hereafter, and from the fitna of the dajjal. Du'as for ourselves, for our family members. How else is Allah, how else are we going to be protected from the difficult times which we have ahead of us? We're aware of the law that is being passed now in Parliament, Michael Gove and the extremism law. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Soon it's going to come to a point, you can't say this, you can't talk about this aspect of seerah because this is extreme. You can't talk about this pious person because we think that pious person is extreme. We can't talk about these particular sahaba because in our definition, those sahaba were extreme. Na'udhubillah. So a lot of our deen is just thrown in the bin. They're redefining the term extremism. Basically, if you're with us and you parrot whatever we say, you're not extreme. And if you don't do that, you're extreme. It's not passed yet, so we can say this. But we have to make dua. Who knows what law will come after that? And the one after that, and the one after that. So we do dua to Allah Ta'ala. If we're going to live in the West, live in England, Allah Ta'ala protects us. Allah Ta'ala protects our children. I might go 30, 40, 50 years old. How many years do I have left of this dunya? What are my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? Will they even be able to appreciate and understand deen the way that I am able to today? Make dua for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve deen in our families, in our children, in our offspring, till the day of qiyamah. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.